Hello, everybody. It's Susan Baracco here today. We are going to get started in just a minute. Thanks so much for being here. Looking forward to hearing from all of you. If you start by letting me know in the chat box if you can hear me. I want to make sure that everything's working correctly. So send me a quick chat and let me know if you're able to hear me. Great. Joanne, hello there. Thanks for typing that in. Laura, great to see you. Welcome. Glad you're both here today. Glad you can hear me. And we're going to get started here. Actually, it is the top of the hour, so it's 1 o'clock. So we are going to dive right in. If you're still coming on, I'm sure people will continue to join as we get started. But in the meantime, I'm hoping you can see my screen. I have a slide up, a just for fun slide. So start by typing in the chat where you're calling from, where you're calling in from today. And if there's anything falling from the sky, where I am today, it's sunny and beautiful and cold, but there's leaves flying everywhere. I'm in the Northeast and it's fall is in full bloom here. So we've got leaves flying all over the place. So love to hear where you folks are from and what's happening in your part of the world. All right, Laura, thanks for responding. You're in Warren. Oh my goodness. I'm assuming that's Arkansas. I'm really bad with my initials. And you said nothing is falling. So great. Peoria, Phoenix area. Thanks, Joanne. And it's beautiful today. What's the temperature in Arizona today? Mike has joined us. Thanks, Mike. Good to see you. Nanette is here. Great to have you both. Glad you're here. We're just getting started. So I am covering for Ed today because he is in sunny Florida at the AWAI conference today, and he's going to be there for a couple of days. I know some of the folks that are in this program are actually there with him, attending the event. Great event. If you haven't been before, it really is a pretty exciting event. A lot of good workshops, a lot of stuff to learn there. So hoping they're having a good time and hope the weather down there is good too. So, oh, and Nanette calling in from Thousand Oaks, California. Welcome. Glad you're here. All right. Well, we're going to dive right in. It's going to be a small group today, simply because I think, like I said, a lot of folks are attending that conference. I know there's a number of you, and I know there's a number of people that are in this program right now that are working full time. So it's a challenge for them to attend live. So the recording is happening right now as we speak, and so everything we talk about today will be recorded, and they'll be able to access that on their own time, at their own convenience. So I'd like for you to start today with wins, and it's one of my favorite things to talk about. I'd love for you to type in the chat, start with a capital W, so that I know it's a win. And even if it's something small, we've been talking a lot with in the Facebook group and with folks going through the program about baby steps. And I think baby steps are so critically important. You don't have to take giant leaps in this program. It's a little at a time and a little at a time. So share your wins. I want to hear what you've done well, what's been happening, and what you want to celebrate. So capital W in the chat. And Nanette says, RFP accepted. Waiting for a contract for my first client. Wow, congratulations. RFPs can be daunting sometimes, depending on what they involve, how involved they are. But congratulations, that's exciting. That's great, great stuff. So capital W and a win to share with us. And Laura says, you completed session 5. Good for you. Again, a daunting task getting through the program. Sometimes it's hard. I've been talking to a couple people too recently about things like self-doubt and procrastination and all of these different things. And we may touch on a few of those today. It's been interesting to see what people are experiencing right now. Any other wins to share? Exciting. Good stuff. The next thing we're going to jump into is what you're implementing. And so if you would type a capital I for implementing and let me know. Now, I know, Laura, you just said you completed session 5, but is there anything that there are action steps with session 5 that you might be taking? I'd love to hear about those. So anything that you're implementing right now, whether it's warm email prospecting, whether it's reaching out on through other means like LinkedIn, those types of things, share anything that you're implementing in the program right now. Maybe you're working on your website. Maybe you're still back at positioning. Would love to hear what you're implementing right now in the program. And Laura shares, I have contacted the first 10 prospects. Awesome, Laura. Is that through email or some other means? Just follow up with that so we know what how you reached out to them. Email and in person. Good for you. Good for you. Nice to be able to work with local, make local connections. I find sometimes in person, face to face can be really powerful. You can do pretty well doing that. Nanette says, I need to recontact prospects, must find articles or something to share. Good for you. Takes a little bit of time to do that, but definitely worth the effort. I've been sharing articles in the Facebook group, and I look for those usually a couple of days in advance, depending on what's going on in the Facebook group, but it can take a day or two sometimes to find an article or something that I think is of value. So, and Laura says, I have 2 leads so far. Wow, awesome. Congratulations, that's exciting. Exciting. Just out of 10 prospects, that's fantastic, actually. So good for you. Good for you. All right. Oh, and I see we have a couple of other folks have joined us. Thanks, Matthew. I see you're here. Welcome. Glad you were able to join us. And I think I see who else. I think that's it. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to dive right in today to questions. We had a question that was pre-submitted, and I'm hoping that Randall was going to be on the call today with us, but I don't see him here yet. But I'm going to read his question so that all of you can understand what his question is. So he says, "Hi, Ed. I've been really terrible at getting through this program, but I'm inching my way now. I've been paralyzed at the beginning where you choose a concentration or / target market. I'm an expert in nothing but writing. In years past, I've written for transportation, the Christian market, publishers, weight loss products, and so on. I have experience in various kinds of writing, technical, B2B, case studies, books, journalism. I even teach college writing and college creative writing. So when it comes to putting down a specific market for my website, I get overwhelmed and shut down. Should I choose a market I want to work with and list that, or is it okay to list 2 markets and say I can work in both? Thanks, Randall." It's a great question, and I think it's one that I think everyone has probably struggled with perhaps at times, certainly in the beginning. If this has been, you're choosing your focus, choosing that target market or that niche, really starting to look at where do you want to focus your energy? If you can click the green check mark that says yes under the chat box. Hopefully you can see that. If you've dealt with that too, would love to just hear if that's something that you've dealt with in terms of, or did you deal with regardless of when you started the program? Was it challenging in the beginning to figure out who to focus on because you have a lot of experience? Maybe it's diverse. Randall, I'm hoping you have a chance to listen to the recording of this call, but I can tell you that you've got amazing background. Your writing experience is just going to be a powerful differentiator for you no matter what industry you choose to focus on or target market. Couple of things that I would send you back to. The very first session 1, there's a handout that's rather long, but really, really powerful. It's that positioning handout. And I think you'll all find that going back to that handout will be really helpful in hopefully trying to clarify this a bit more. But I wanted you to look at Randall, a couple of different things. I want you to think about your background and where you have the most experience. So I know you mentioned you worked for the Christian, in the Christian market for publishers, weight loss products, and so on, transportation. Is there any one of those that stands out that you spent the most time doing? That would be a question. The next would be technical writing, B2B, you said you did case studies, journalism, and so forth. Again, is there any one or two of those things that stands out that you did the longest, that you spent the most time doing? That might be an easier way to narrow down, okay, I have the most experience in this one area or in this specific specialty, like case studies. Maybe that's the best way to go. Another way to look at this is taking a look at your network. And again, we're looking at a most. So if you look at your network, where are the most, where do you have the most connections? I think that hopefully most of you who've been in the program a little ways are realizing that your network can be a really rich resource for initial connections and initial leads. So I would take a second look at the network. Go back and take a serious, open-minded look at, okay, where are my network connections? What industry are they in primarily? The next thing would be passion and interests. And you mentioned that in your last sentence, should I choose a market that I actually want to work with? That definitely should play a role and should weigh in on which direction you head. And I think probably one of the most important ones of all is the level of need. Sometimes we tend to overlook that. We think, you know, we get excited about a particular area, a particular industry, but do they really have a need for your services? Are they buying? Are they investing in marketing materials? Are they buying writing services? Are they already doing that? Such an important piece, and I'm hoping that that alone will help you to just kind of step back and take another look at all of what you're considering. And then on the very last page, or down towards the end of that document, there's a really great tip there. It's about tips for good decision making, and my favorite one out of that list is make a good enough decision and act on it. One of the things that you need to understand is that this is a starting point for all of you. You've all come into this program, you're just getting started, you're finding your way. Understand that 6 months from now, you very likely might pivot. You might still be writing, but okay, you know what, this hasn't worked out the way I thought. I'm going to pivot just slightly and start heading in a different direction. So to answer your question directly is, it's okay. The other question you had is it okay to list two markets? You can, if that's something that you feel strongly about, if there's two markets that are kind of rising to the top above everything else. But I would start simple, choose a good enough decision, and act on it. And that would be my bottom line recommendation for you. And don't worry about it being perfect. Don't worry about it not being exactly right, because this is a stages of learning. And as you start to progress into your writing career, your professional writing career, freelance career, you're going to learn what works for you and what doesn't, what industries are best. So I hope, Randall, that answers your question. Sorry that you weren't here today to jump on board and have a conversation with me. But I'm hoping that answers your question. All right. And I didn't have any other pre-submitted questions today. So what I'd like to do is open it up to those of you who are on the call. And I see Madalena has joined us. Welcome. Glad you're here. And would love to have you raise your hand if you have a question you'd like to ask and discuss, if there's something that you would you could use some help with. I'm showing the slide right now that talks about the criteria for that. Keep your question focused and specific. One question per person, and I'll go around the room, so to speak. And if applicable, I want to hear a little bit about what you're already considering. So if you have a question, just raise your hand. Let me see. Oh, I thought I saw a hand. Nanette. All right, Nanette, I am going to unmute you. And hello there. How are you?
Good. How about yourself?
Great. Thanks for raising your hand. What? Tell me about your question. How can I help?
Well, I'm conflicted. I submitted the RFP and it was accepted, and it was just because it was one of my contacts. You know, when I was reaching out to people that I knew in the area, it wasn't necessarily so much in my target area.
Okay.
And it's kind of like switched my focus, and it makes me wonder if I should rethink my positioning. because I'd been looking at trying to do ghostwriting and working with busy executives. And this possible client is actually a nonprofit that wants me to help throughout the year with their newsletter and other things, press releases and things like that. And so it's kind of it's a big switch from thinking of busy executives to a nonprofit.
That is a big switch. That is a big switch. Have you, so this is just one request, one thing that you've come across that's they're interested in having you write for them? Is that, I'm understanding that correctly? Or have you come across a couple of opportunities?
Well, with this organization, it's like a year contract, so almost like a, what do you call that?
A retainer.
Every month. A retainer, and for each month I'll do their newsletter, and then depending on the needs, like some months they might need a couple of press releases or an article written, and some months not. It kind of depends on what's happening with the organization and what needs to be done. And they want me to help them position themselves to get new members and to kind of help liven up the group.
Got it. And so what are you thinking about at this point? I mean, what's your gut telling you? What are you feeling?
Well, it's a group. I went forward because I'm actually a member of the group. So I have a lot of background with this organization, and I actually had written for the newsletter before, submitted it as a volunteer. And so now it's a chance to, if I'm coordinating the newsletter, I get paid to do that. And so when they first mentioned, I'm like, well, yeah, but I need a pay job. And they're like, oh no, we have $20,000 to $30,000 for this job. So I'm like, oh, it's just a very different. And I have written newsletters for nonprofits before. I'm usually like the go-to person when somebody needs help. But I'm like, well, maybe I should have.
Difficult to.
That was just something I always did, but. Yeah. Since I've been, I have a PhD and I do a lot with MBAs and EMBA, executive MBAs, I thought helping executives who need clear writing and strategic development of their plans, that would be probably a more profitable area.
Right.
But I don't know. But this is just an easy in, and I should just take that as a nice win and then continue to focus on the other area.
There's a couple different ways to look at it. I think it sounds like your background. Did you consider it when you were doing your positioning exercise? Did you consider nonprofit at all?
Not really. I hadn't really thought of that.
So it might be helpful to go back to that positioning exercise that was in session one and the handout, and see plug in the answers for nonprofit and see how that works. And it might require see how it works out in terms of what you already chose for positioning. Mm-hmm. and see how it it's kind of a very personal decision. Definitely take this opportunity. It sounds fabulous, and it sounds like it would be easy for you to support them. Wouldn't be a huge stretch. It's, you're comfortable with it. I would go back and just kind of think that through. And again, that what I was just saying, answering Randall's question is,
right.
Is the need, what's the need? That's the kind of the bottom line question. And is it something that can support you and what you're trying to do in terms of growing your freelance business? So
we'll see. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. But I would, there's also, and he asked the exact same question about, should I have more than one? You could, but I think you're early enough in the process where just run with this. Keep marketing, keep prospecting in the area, in the direction you wanted to head initially, and give it a little more time and see what happens. And if
okay.
more...
Because I figured with the organization, I might meet people more in line with my targeted.
Absolutely. Yeah. If they have a board of directors and there are executives on that board of directors, it might be a great opportunity for you to connect and get to know these people. So
I think if I help the nonprofit, maybe I'll lead me to profit.
Yeah. You never know. There's definitely When it comes to nonprofits, as you well know, there's different sizes, right? There's very small ones that don't have a budget for any of your services, but then there's the mid-sized to larger ones that really need your support. So, you want to look at that too.
I mean, I could definitely leverage my education to say I was good for nonprofit. I just hadn't really
thought about it.
No.
No, definitely. So go back, do a shortened version of that. Let's look at nonprofit and see how it stacks up. How's my network look? What's the need? Those kind of things. Same thing. Am I passionate about it? Do I have good experience to support them appropriately? And answer those questions for yourself. That might help.
Okay. Okay, awesome. Great. Thank you.
All right. Good luck.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Thanks, Nanette. Appreciate that. And I see Madalena has, let me just make sure, Madalena, you have a question. I've been reaching out to my network after completing session 5. So far, I've gotten a lot of, I'll pass your information along, which is positive. I did hear back from one person who said, you give your information to X business. My response was along the lines of, thank you. Is there someone I should follow up with? Is this a good way to handle it? Madalena, I am going to unmute you. Hi there.
Hi, Susan. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Thanks.
Good. So tell me a little bit more about this.
Okay. So I am, I went through session 5 and I have writing experience, but not in the area of my positioning. But my positioning is based on my previous experience through my translation business. So I'm reaching out to health and wellness businesses and companies and publications. But because of this, I'm starting with a few pro bono projects, based on the directions in session 5. And so I reached out first to people in my network who are good connectors or helping hands, things like that.
Great.
So one of them said, I can't think of anybody right now. Let me think on this for a few days and I'll come back to you. And so she did. A very reliable friend. And she said, I gave your information to the wellness center where I go to the gym. And they do a lot of programs for like senior citizens and things like that. So she thought, maybe they have some content that they need written for, I don't know what. But so instead of following up with her over and over again about something like this, because it's not she who's making the decision on this, it's not her business or her organization, is this the right way to go about this and say, well, is there somebody I should follow up with there, like trying to get some contact information? Because this is one of those things that could easily turn into a dead end.
Mm.
And I don't want to put a ton of time into something where there's really, I have no idea if there is a need there or if she was like, if you have a need, here's a name. I'm not sure because I didn't have the actual conversation. And so it's one of those things where I've had a few responses where somebody said, actually, the company that I, do photography, professional photography for could use your services. That's a little bit easier because I know, kind of who she works with and I can follow up with her. But this person, was trying to help me out, of course, and I'm not really sure the next step in this or if it's just one of those things that, well, maybe, serendipity will happen and they'll come back to me.
Mm.
I don't know.
So, well, I think actually you this is a perfect response. What you said here is, to say thanks. Is there someone I should follow up with there? Sometimes if they don't get back to you or perhaps they're saying, let me check. Another thing you could say in that response is something along the lines of, in order to keep this from a lot of back and forth and back and forth, would it be okay for me to reach out to them directly? Or like you said, is there someone there that I could reach out? So what you want to do is make sure that they understand that, I don't want to keep going through you and pestering you, right?
Pestering, yeah, because it's not like I don't want to go through her, but I don't want to bring this up with her over and over again.
Exactly. Yeah.
To the point where she is a friend of mine, she might become like annoyed by that. So, okay.
Yeah. And you could even ask for, could you do an introduction for me? By email, say, hey, Jim, this is Madalena. I wanted to introduce you, have her do just a quick email introduction and, hey, good. I thought you two should connect. I do that a lot with people. If there's a resource that I think, and that's just, I address it to both of them. I copy, you know, I have it going to both their emails, and mm-hmm. here you go. So you might ask her to do something like that. You know, to make this easier for you, why don't you just e-introduce us, and I'll take it from there if you're comfortable with that. Yeah. Especially if it's a friend, and she'll say, oh, yes, go for it, you know,
yeah,
most of the time.
Would,
yeah. Most of the time. So.
And I'm kind of more used to that through LinkedIn. Well, email too, I guess, where people say, can you make an introduction? So actually this would work for a lot of the different people who said, yeah, I have somebody in mind, but
I'll
follow up with them. I was planning to follow up with them anyway. Has now been maybe 2 weeks.
Oh, definitely.
So this works out. Okay. Yeah.
And where we're, you know, it's a time of year where people are realizing that all of a sudden we're nearing the end of the year, and I think people get really busy in the fall. So
don't be
afraid to reach out. 2 weeks is plenty to reach back out and say, hey, you know, I was thinking about what you said. Would you be willing to just introduce me so I can take it from here? And mm-hmm. it'll relieve them of any further responsibility, except for you to say, you know, a great big thank you.
So. Right. Cause this is not the kind of person that I could say, hey, you know, I thought you might find this article interesting.
It's not the same type
of follow-up.
Exactly. So. Exactly.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. Good luck.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks so much. Yeah. You know, sometimes finding just the right thing to say in a follow-up, is a challenge, but I know Ed and I both are big fans of keeping it really conversational, and that's probably the number one thing, and you'll see that with a lot of Ed's warm emails, is it's really a very conversational, low-key approach, and this is the same thing, is just following up saying, you know, would you mind, to make it easier for you, could you just e-introduce me, and I'll take it from there, and that way it really is, you're thinking of them and respecting their time, so it's a great way to follow up. So if you have a question for me, anything that I can help you with, type in Q and then give me a quick idea of in the chat what your question is. And while I'm waiting for that, I did want to say that I posted an article from James Clear in the Facebook group, and I'm hoping that all of you saw it. James Clear is someone I was just introduced to as a resource this week, as a matter of fact, and he's been around for quite a while. He's got quite a following, and his book just came out. It's called Atomic Habits, and I downloaded it and started reading it right away. It's a really interesting book. He's quite a guy, but the articles on his website are also incredibly diverse. He's been writing for many years, even though this is his first book that he's just come out with. It just was released, I think, yesterday, Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. So brand new book and already getting rave reviews. It's really awesome in terms of he's all about baby steps. He's all about, you know, making small steps towards big results. And so very interesting read about habits. And what I wanted to say is that there's anything that you're struggling with, a couple of folks have talked about self-doubt and things of that nature and being overwhelmed. There's some great articles on his website. I'm going to continue to post ones that I think are relevant over the course of the coming weeks. But there's some great resource in there for just thinking differently, kind of getting you out of your own way, getting you unstuck in terms of different ways to think about achieving goals. And I think all of you have a goal to get through this course and to really get your businesses off on the right foot. And this is just a great resource. James Clear is a great resource. So if you haven't seen the article, take 2 minutes and read through it. It's pretty good. It's pretty interesting. It'll give you some good perspective. And I'm looking through. Any other questions for today? Let me see. And Jennifer joined us. Hi there, Jennifer. Glad you're here. Type in a cue and a quick question. All right. I don't see any more questions coming through, so I am going to move us on to the next slide, which is just what's been most valuable. Is there anything that we've talked about today so far? And I know this is probably going to end up being a short call. We have a small group. Is there anything that you found valuable in what we discussed today in terms of positioning, in terms of follow-up, more than one market, those types of things. We touched on a couple different things. If there's anything you thought was interesting that you hadn't thought of before, definitely type it in so I can see that and share it. And Nanette, I must be Facebook challenged. How do I find your post and the article? No problem, Nanette. Actually, when you log in and you go to the Facebook group, if you scroll down, today's Thursday, I posted it yesterday. So if you scroll down just a little ways in the newsfeed within the Facebook group, you'll find it. And what you want to look for is a picture with two side-by-side, they're side-by-side graphs, line graphs that show progress. And so just scroll down and look for that as the picture and you'll see it. But it's sometimes when there's a lot of activity, and there's been a lot of activity in the Facebook group, which is fabulous lately, when there's a lot of activity, a lot of it gets pushed down pretty quickly. But you shouldn't have to scroll too far. I think if you just scroll down a little ways in the Facebook group, I posted it yesterday morning. So look at the posts by date too, and you'll be able to see once you get to the Wednesday's posts, you'll see that I posted it Wednesday morning. So just scroll on down. Or if you jump on the in the margin on the left-hand side of the group newsfeed, you'll see a search bar, and you can even type in my name. You just put in Susan and it'll come up, so you can see all the things that I've posted. And that's the same for any of you. If you're looking for something, you can search by topic. If there's a particular topic you're looking for, if there's a particular person you're looking for in the news feed or something like that, you can just type in that search and hit enter, and it'll bring everything up. Found it. Yay. Good job. Thanks, Nanette. Glad you found it. Yeah, great resource. James Clear, great resource. He's got an amazing, amazing story. So, and has a lot of good insights. All right. So Matthew submitted a question. Jennifer, I see something from you with a V, valuable, asking for email introduction and the wording for doing so, so you can be in direct contact with someone. Great. So you found that valuable. Glad to hear that. Yeah, it's just an interesting way to offload the middleman, so to speak, and be respectful of them too. And I think that's a nice little tip for that second follow-up, especially if you've got a first. You're still working off of your network, you're working off of your helping hands and your connectors. Definitely make it easy for them. So I'll take it from here. So, all right, Matthew. And Matthew's question, at any point should I focus on getting a publicized article, for example, on guest blogging websites in my niche, however you prefer to say that. And Matthew, I'm going to unmute you because I'd love to hear about what you're thinking about. Hi there, Matthew, can you hear me?
Hi, Susan, I can hear you, yeah.
Hello there.
Hi.
So tell me a little bit about what you have in mind. What are you looking at for articles?
Okay, so I've been sending out some cold emails. I've been getting some responses from persons who are interested in my services. And the only issue is that they've been asking for live publicized samples.
Yes.
So they've been asking for those, and because on the beginning of the course, I made the pivot from focusing on social media marketing and so on into hospitality technology. You know, I don't really have any of those samples. I don't have any public samples of hospitality technology content.
Great.
And I had posted the question inside of the Facebook group. I mean, I got a great answer from Ed already.
Okay. Yes.
About it. So, because basically what I was thinking in my mind is that, well, since I don't have any, maybe I should offer to do some pro bono work, but he said, no, not to do that because it might scare them off. So, if anything, just, you know, kind of explain the fact that, you know, my experience and the fact that I have experience in hospitality and writing long form content, and I should use that as, you know, along with a heavy discount as opposed to offering pro bono work, which in, I did agree that that would, you know, that would be the best thing. And I have sent off those emails with exactly what he said to me. But I was just wondering because, you know, I don't know how they're going to react to it. And if any point, maybe I should take some time to focus on writing samples and posting them on GetGoggle websites in English.
Sure. Good question. Very good question. You know, it's really difficult, I think, in the beginning to, if you haven't been doing writing, to figure out, okay, how do I demonstrate my skill? How do I do that? So good question. I think that it really depends on a couple things. What I would urge you to do is stay focused on prospecting. I don't want this to distract you. Yeah. From prospecting and continuing to reach out, because right now, honestly, that's your number one, should be your number one job. And it's really just finding and connecting with more people and more potential leads. So that's number one. That being said, writing an article for your own blog, if you have that set up on your website, is a great way to share your writing ability. And so you might want to think about an article that explains what you see. So in other words, you know, in the hospitality industry, I see companies or organizations struggling with to write about this or that or whatever the case may be. And here's how I would handle it. Here's my thinking on how to address that. Here's, you know, the one of the best ways to address this type of challenge is by writing this or that or the next thing. So what you want to do is showcase a little bit of your thinking, how you would approach a problem in the industry, a common or a problem that you know is common, and then showcase, you know, here's how I would handle that. So that's just one idea. You also asked about guest blogging. Absolutely. If, again, if you have the time, if time permits and you can do that, that's a great way to put samples out as well. But I'd go along the same lines in terms of what's an industry challenge, what's a pain point, what are they struggling with, and how would I fix it? How would I help? So maybe it's website copy that's not strong enough and you can really make a difference by, you know, changing the way that it's worded, you know, something like that, explaining your philosophy or your approach to fixing some of those problems is a great way to start explaining and just, you know, kind of just explaining how you think about writing, how you think about improving copy and showcasing that. But again, with the caveat, it would only be after all your prospecting for the day is done and you have the time. But it's definitely something that, because blogging can be overwhelming in terms of once you start and then trying to keep up and that kind of thing. If you can fit in writing one article a month, that's great. You know, especially, you know, for some folks, I know a lot of people in this program are working full time and trying to do the program. For them, this might not be an option. But if you're not working full time, you're already doing this, you know, this is your primary focus, then you might have more time to do that. But just be careful that you're not letting it get in the way of the more important work of prospecting right now. So, but it's just a way of thinking about how would I fix someone's problem? And you could even do, something that maybe you wouldn't want to name names, but you might want to say, you know, I came across this one website. I noticed that they didn't have testimonials or that they didn't have whatever, something, you know, there was something glaringly missing. Here's how I would address that. Here's what I would do. So if you have this, if your website is missing this, here's what to think about in terms of improving the performance of the copy on your website. So yeah, play with that a little bit. Does that make sense? Yeah, it does make sense. Very interesting. Good. Good. Yes.
Because my fear has always been letting, because I've been able to follow Ed's lead and, you know, as to what I should and shouldn't be. And I feel like that's always been a challenge for me because, you know, just going rogue. So I'm definitely trying not to go rogue and to.
Definitely.
Examples laid out. So I will continue to focus on prospecting.
That's the only caveat. You got to don't let it get in the way of prospecting, you know, but take the time if you have the time and the interest. And you know where you might go, honestly, Ed's Ed does an amazing job with his blog and his articles. So you might look at, think about from his perspective. So he's reaching out to people like you saying, here's how you would address this challenge in your writing, in your freelance writing business. So, you know what I mean? So he's helping his clients. And so that's the same approach that you want to take is, you know what, if you're managing a property, a hospitality, and you're struggling with this, or you're hearing complaints about that from people, or you're, you know, whatever, you can address that problem. And with your inside experience in hospitality, you might have some ideas there about things that you know are common problems across the hospitality industry, and that's what you want to address, because that'll make it look, you know, that really helps to start positioning you as an expert, or that you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Thanks a lot, Susan.
Absolutely. You're very welcome, Matthew. Thanks for chiming in and asking the question, and good luck with that. Definitely keep us posted in the Facebook group. Let us know how that works.
Will do. Thanks.
All right. Good luck.
All right. Bye.
All right. Great. Laura, thanks for just popping in there on the chat. She's sharing a most valuable saying, writing solutions on your blog. You know, it's, as I mentioned, I really do want to, you know, caution you at this point. You're so early in building your business that the prospecting has got to be number one for all of you, each and every one of you, regardless of where you are. You're still needing to build some momentum, and that's get your first client, maybe even get your second, you know, really start focusing there and finding your way in terms of being comfortable reaching out to people. Those are the things, the skills that I would want you to focus on right now and build right now. But if you are slim on the samples, like Matthew is, and you know, struggling to find samples, writing a simple blog, 500 words, 700 at the max. It doesn't need to be long and elaborate, and thinking about what you know is a problem and addressing it from your perspective. It's a really easy way to kind of start showing that you do know what you're talking about in the industry. And hopefully that'll be something that, and then it would be even be an article that you could turn around and share. Say, look, you know, I just wrote this article, thought you'd be interested in it. So that kind of ties together. It's a little more advanced than where you folks are right now, and that's why I'm stressing, I don't want you to get distracted by this. It's very important for you to stay focused on finding that first client and making those connections, but this might be an easier way to do that. All right, any other questions? If you have a question, type Q in the chat and explain your question. And if you've got any more valuable insight, anything you've heard today that you found helpful, certainly share that as well. Nanette, you posted another question. I participated in a blog competition on the Wealthy Web Writer. That's through AWAI. Can I take those blog posts and put them on my site, or should I link to them? Do I need to get permission to do either? So Nanette, my understanding of that is that it's a blog submission that you, it's a piece of writing that you wrote. I believe that still belongs to you. You could at the very least link to it, but you might want to reach out to Wealthy Web Writer and just verify. And I don't know off the top of my head who the primary connection is for the Wealthy Web Writer program at AWAI, but you should, whoever you were in contact with in regards to the competition, definitely worth a quick follow-up to make sure, because that is your writing, and I believe that copyright-wise it still belongs to you. But yes, that's writing that you did, and definitely something that you can use as a sample. You can post it in your own blog. You can put it as a sample on your website if that's something that makes sense. It would be worth reaching out just to make sure that that's the case, but I don't believe that they turn around and republish those unless you win the competition, unless it's chosen. But you might want to just verify that before you go ahead and use it. But yes, linking to it most definitely, at the very least, if not putting it on your website as a sample would be great. Absolutely. Any kind of writing like that is wonderful. Super. All right. And any other questions? I know, like I said, we have a pretty small group today, but let me see. Who else is on? All right. Top takeaways. Anything that you haven't mentioned right now, if you want to share that. And Mike, I see you just posted a question. I'll get to that in a second. But if you have a top takeaway for today, something that you know you really found valuable, put a T in the chat and let me know what your thoughts were. And Mike's question, I write 500-word automotive articles for car dealerships via a well-known content broker. These articles don't have my byline. Can I use them as portfolio material? I don't have direct contact with anybody at these dealerships to ask permission. That's a really good question. Let me see if I can find you, Mike. I'm going to bring you on here for just a minute. Mike, you're unmuted.
Hi.
Hi there. So that's a great, that's a, actually a really great experience and a great set of, you know, good way to get writing regularly. And that's a lot of fun too. I'm a bit of a motorhead myself, so I worked for a dealership. They really are fun to write. So tell me, so this is through a broker type of a situation. So
yeah.
You're not using that. I have also worked through broker situations. I've written a lot of articles, honestly, through a couple of different brokers earlier in my career, and I still actually work with one in particular because it fits in my target audience. And I actually haven't used them myself. So off the top of my head, I couldn't answer that, but mm-hmm. I think you can. I know it doesn't have the byline, but so I'm looking at, you wouldn't be able to go out and claim that, you know, repost it on your own LinkedIn or Facebook or anything like that. I wouldn't recommend that. But definitely, if you've got a samples page on your website, add a link to that. Yes.
Okay.
I believe that you can do that. And you might want to double check to see if you can log back into the broker site. Is it, do they have a site, or do you, where you go in and you get get your assignments and things like that? You might want to poke around, because sometimes in the beginning, I know when you first start with a broker or like an agency type of an environment, sometimes they have you sign even an e-document that says this is how this works in terms of copyright. So that's always the biggest thing is copyright is a big concern. How does that work, and can you use that as a sample versus reposting it? Those are two very different things. So if I took that article and I reposted it on my own LinkedIn, that's a copyright violation if they own it, versus just simply linking to it as an example. That's a slightly different situation. So you might want to just check and see if there's any way that you could like reach out through a help, or support, anything like that, and just say, hey, I want to use these as samples. But I definitely talk about, if nothing else, you could even say, I've written for this dealership, that dealership, that kind of thing. Just say, you know, these have been past clients of mine.
Mm-hmm. So I can't post the actual, I probably can't post the actual text, or the actual content on my site, but I can post links saying that,
yes.
For examples of what I've written, follow these links.
Yes, I believe that's okay. But you might want to double check to see if you can find something on the broker site. Like I said, usually up front when you sign, they sometimes have you sign an agreement saying this is how the content will be used, and you know, just to make sure. But yeah, I think a link is okay. I believe that's the case. So I have done that before, linked to things that I've written, and see how it goes. But yeah, good for you. That's a really great opportunity to get into a broker like that, because even though you're not able to use the byline and put your name on it, it's just great experience as you're getting into this and learning. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Good luck with that.
Thanks.
Oops. Hold on. I just unmuted somebody by mistake. All right. So let me take a quick look here. So takeaways, focus on prospecting. Yes, please, please. Good. Couple people, I said that enough times, I hope. Continue to focus on prospecting. Great stuff. Madalena says how to follow up gracefully with your personal network then when they refer you. I think that's a super helpful thing to be able to do. So good. Laura, continue to focus on prospecting. And then Jennifer, reminder to focus on prospecting. Yeah, it's, you know, I think it's one of the difficult parts in the beginning of getting started is that prospecting has to be a number one. It's a big rock, as they say, in terms of importance. It's the most important thing you can be doing right now to build what you're doing. It's just keep picking away and picking away every single day on your prospecting. And it will pay off. It may take a little time, but it'll pay off in the long run. All right. Any other questions? Again, small group today. If you want to add one more question in, type Q and type in a quick question. And if not, we'll move into the final round. So based on what you've heard today, and feel free to type in a question while we're wrapping this up today, but based on what you heard, what's your top action item for this week? Is there anything, I know it's Thursday, but between now and maybe a week from now, for in the next five to seven business days, what are your top action items? So type in a capital A and let me know what you're thinking about. Laura says prospect. Yes, absolutely. Cynthia, hey, Cynthia, didn't realize you joined. Thanks for chiming in there. Keep working on the website until it's done. Good for you. Yes. And also remember with things like your website and your positioning, I know I mentioned that right at the beginning when I answered Randall's question, is to keep in mind that this is a starting point for you. It's a stick in the sand. Grab some kind of a target audience and go for it and start taking action. Start reaching out the ones that you think are going to be your best bet. And then 6 months down the road, if it doesn't work out, as I mentioned, the way you were thinking, you can pivot, you can change and you can expand, but you gotta find out what it's like out there first and really focus on and stay in one direction. Because if you change directions too many times, you're not going to give it enough time to actually make progress. So you want to give this plenty of time to work in your favor as you start working this. Matthew says, send at least 20 to 30 cold emails. Good for you. Nanette, your action item is to revisit your positioning. Definitely take another look at the nonprofit piece for you that we talked about. And Jennifer, thanks for adding your action item. Get back up to speed. I lost momentum in the midst of session 4 because of vacation. Oh, and a lot of stuff going on. Yes, life. Life gets in the way. Absolutely. But as long as you come back to it and pick back up, don't worry about that you lost a little bit of time here. I actually end up following up with a lot of you on the side through email just to check in, see how things are going, and I often hear from people saying, "Oh, you know, life got in the way, and I'm going to resume. I'm going to get back in and get back at it." So, but vacation. I know Matthew said, "Yeah, I would love a vacation." Me too. Yeah, I hope it was a good one. I hope you had a good vacation. All right. So, great action items. Doesn't have to be again. Doesn't have to be big. Not big leaps. Small steps. That's all we need. All right. Well, thank you, folks. I don't see any other questions coming through, so I am going to sign us off for today. I'm so glad everybody joined. I'm glad for the questions. We had some good questions. Definitely stay posted. Ed will be back on the next call, which is the beginning of November. I'm going to say November 1st, I believe, is our next coaching call. So mark that on your calendar, and if you can join us, definitely pre-submit questions if you'd like to online. Hopefully, if you go online and go to the Q&A in the program where it has the live Q&A calls and submit your question in the comment section, and Ed will be happy to address that. And have a great week, and keep working. We'll see you in the Facebook group, and thanks for being here.